Great. All right, now we've got good sound. Anyway, thank you for joining us, everybody. Welcome and good afternoon. My name is Howard Zemsky. On behalf of Chairman Hoskins and the College Council, we welcome you to the first meeting of the Buffalo State College Council for the 2010-2011 academic year. The first order of business is to approve the minutes from the April 27th meeting. I'll now entertain a motion to approve these minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carried. The 2009-2010 annual report also requires your approval. I'll entertain a motion to approve the annual report.
So moved. Second.
In favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Well, with that bit of formality out of the way, I just want to take an opportunity to officially welcome Dr. Aaron Podolevsky to Buffalo State College, our eighth president, and tell you what an honor it is to have you here and how much we all look forward to your leadership and serving with you and serving this fine institution and the amazing students we have. I know how extremely busy you've been, and we'll hear more about some of those activities later, but on behalf of the council, I just can't tell you how much we look forward to working with you and how excited we are to have you with Buffalo State.
Thank you.
I'd also like to welcome and introduce Renee Johnson. Renee, welcome. We're really pleased to have you here, the student elected representative to the College Council for the 2010-2011 year. Renee is a senior majoring in political science with a minor in international finance. We welcome you.
Thank you.
I now call on President Podolevsky to deliver his report.
Thank you, Mr. Zemke. I would like to begin by acknowledging a couple of individuals that are here with us today. First, College Senate Chair this year is Howard Reed, and I wanted to make sure we all recognize Howard. He's out there in the gallery. Can we call that the gallery?
Be careful.
And also with us today is President of UUP, Richard Stepniak. Richard, it was a great service to me when we had a barbecue, and he invited me out there, and he helped me meet a whole host of UUP faculty and staff. That was much appreciated. And, of course, there's many of our deans and vice presidents and others here today. I appreciate them coming. I wanted to simply point out that I'd sent to you a letter in advance outlining some of the activities I've undertaken during the last 2 months. That was really the tip of the iceberg, and I don't think I want to sit here and go through my calendar with you, but you can look at that. But it's included a range of things from most of our elected officials in the state legislature that are from our area, many city officials, federal legislators, friends of the university, donors, various boards, and other events that were hosted for me to be able to meet people, such as the Roswell Park event that you came to, and Mr. Zemsky, and many others. So I've been well received, but at least well hosted. I don't know how I've been well received, whether I've been well received or not, but I've gotten out to see an awful lot of people. We've done things on campus with students. We handed out 700 hot dogs, footlongs, no less, and we learned that the downstate students aren't as familiar with footlong hot dogs as we are. And we have done some campus events with faculty, staff, and others. And as you see in the plan, there's an overall plan to have me visiting with faculty and staff groups in small groups or larger open groups over the course of the next few weeks and months. It's been a wonderful experience. I want to say my wife and I love the city. We have really grown to know and meet many, many people, and we've enjoyed our experience. The only problem we're having is finding a bad restaurant. everything's been wonderful. With those brief remarks, I thought I would introduce Provost Ponton to give us an update on a number of items, and he'll be followed by Vice President Kardonsky.
Thank you, President Podolevsky. This set up here. I have six topics, so I got five slides and one video that will get us through the topics. First of all, I just wanted to talk about faculty appointments for the new year. We were fortunate enough to make 13 new faculty appointments, 12 of these appointees started with us in the fall term. One will be joining us in January. And these are the departments fairly well distributed across the campus, multiple appointments in some areas. And I think that this is very important because with our obviously very robust and healthy student numbers and also the budget challenges that we face, it was important for us to maintain the appropriate number and expertise in our faculty. So we're delighted to bring 13 new colleagues to our campus this fall. The second topic, new programs. A couple of some meetings ago in this group, we talked about graduate programs and some of our plans to advance graduate education. And this is a summary of some of the programs that we have developed in the past 3 years, over a three-year cycle. The Forensic Science Masters, 2009-2010, the Foreign Language Teaching, and a new Master's in Professional Applied in Computational Mathematics. This is a Professional Science Master's. It's one of those masters that combines the technical field with the business, series of business courses. It's pretty much an important thing in the graduate education. The pending Master's in Mechanical Engineering Technology will also be a Professional Science Master's. And then we have other programs pending that you can see there. Pending means that they are with the State University of New York or the State Education Department. We've done our work and we're just waiting to get approval for these. We're available to answer questions, but we are moving forward with these. So we have taken seriously that charge through the Dean of our graduate school, Associate Provost Kevin Raley and others to advance graduate education with a number of programs that call upon the expertise of our faculty and being able to become interdisciplinary in the picture. Summer session 2010, we completed. We had a very small increase in students and in credit hours generated, but we certainly are very pleased with what we did have. One of the trends in summer sessions around the country is to go to online courses, online offerings. And we did almost double our online courses this summer. That did, I'm sure, keep our enrollments healthy and also give us a chance for a slight increase. We have plans to increase through some work with the faculty, the online sessions in future summers as well. Veterans and military, some of the things that we're doing with that. These are numbers which are misleading in somewhat of the number of individuals on our campus who are either veterans, active military, or who are dependents of veterans. And the fall 2009 number was probably a very accurate representation of veterans. With the post 9/11 veterans bill, there's an increase in opportunity for dependents. So the spring and fall 2010 numbers, I'm sure, reflect that. We'll get a breakout of that. We are doing have a number of initiatives underway. We have working on a one-stop center to serve veterans. There's a lot of paperwork and a lot of effort that's needed to provide support. We're participating with the Veterans VA Yellow Ribbon Program and are able to offer through funds that the college provides that are matched by the Veterans Administration scholarships, $15,000 at our college. We are with the active military working with the Community College of the Air Force, which has a general education mobile program where colleges will have five courses approved: the world communication, humanities, mathematics, and social science, that interested individuals can take online or in person if there happens to be a base close by it or a site close by, and can earn 15 credits of general education to the degree for the for that community college. It's one of the participating campuses in that working with the Air Force. And we also have courses on site at the Niagara Falls Air Force in response to needs there. Academics, events, and ceremonies. Tomorrow, we have our second Anne Frank Conference. I'm sure you've heard about that. We gave a report on that last year. It was an outstanding event, and we're looking forward to a great three-day event this year. We have our academic convocation, September 16th, this Thursday. At that time, we'll recognize a large number of our colleagues who received either a distinguished professorship, distinguished service for teaching, recognition, Chancellor's Award, and President's Awards, and then we'll have a convocation address that is in keeping with the Anne Frank conference. And, of course, we, as an institution, are planning for the inauguration, specifically the ceremony, the installation ceremony at 3 p.m. Friday, October 29th, and a number of events during the period of time from October 23rd through the 29th that are being arranged on campus in celebration of Meredith Prescott and the college inauguration. We'll receive invitations to many of these. We hope you can be part of many of them. And finally, I wanted to talk about the first-year convocation. First-year convocation is that gathering that we had back in August 25th, when we welcomed our new students, first-year students to campus. We did this in the sports arena. It's like commencement, just move forward a few months in terms of a formal activity, as I think you're going to see, and a fun activity. So we want to give you a sense of the first-year convocation.
This is indeed a special morning. A campus really isn't a campus until it's full of students. And I'm very, very glad you're here.
It is my pleasure and my honor to welcome all of you.
But be assured, your dream does await, and Buffalo State will help bring it to fruition.
So I would ask all of you today to view your college experience, your education, as a team effort rather than an individual.
We're in this together, and I can't wait to see where you go. So we're asking you today not to take your seat here for granted, because there are others who wanted it.
And Buffalo State is a place where individuals find opportunities to realize their full potential.
It is my pleasure to welcome you on behalf of the faculty, staff, and students in the School of the Professions,
in the School of Natural and Social Sciences,
the School of Arts and Humanities,
the School of Education,
University College.
Will you pledge, class of 2014, to commit to the purpose of becoming an exemplary learner?
If you settle for anything less than your full potential, you'll regret it.
Students, class of 2014, do you accept your rights and responsibilities as a Buffalo State student? Your answer is yes.
So congratulations, scholars, and welcome to Buffalo State College.
Buffalo State is indeed the right choice for you.
That's a 55-minute program, roughly, condensed down somewhat in addition to what you saw there, and you saw many of the members that are here today who were part of that program. We also recognize some of our outstanding students from the previous year, first-year students, and we also recognize one faculty member for outstanding contributions to the first-year. So that would conclude my report. I'll be happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Dennis, is this the second year of the first-year convocation?
Is it the second year that we've done it?
This is the third. Scott, sixth year.
Oh, it's the sixth year.
Okay. I think maybe is it the second,
year of the year.
Second year in the sports arena where we brought. Yeah, second year in the sports arena. The previous ones were in Rockwell. Okay. Yes.
Dennis, could you go back to the first?
The first.
Yes. That one.
Yes.
With the budget issues that you've dealt with and probably you're going to have to deal with mid-year, how many new programs do you feel can fit into the budget? I assume there's added costs with these programs. And the second part of the question is, are there any programs that have outlived their usefulness that you're eliminating to make room for these newer programs?
In answer to your first question about the cost, yes, there are, and no, there aren't any costs. It just depends on how the package is put together. In the forensic science, for example, putting together a master's in forensic science was the same way we put together our undergraduate, a very successful undergraduate in forensic science, using the chemistry departments, people in biology, cross-disciplinary. And so we just found that there were ways to work this into instructional schedules, small numbers of students in these master's and everything. In some instances, yes, you have to commit to, as you do the letter of intent, the institution may have to commit to one faculty hire. It could be a reallocation from an area where we've had a vacancy, or it could be one that's vacant in a particular department, and they decide they want to go in the math department, for example, into this professional science master's, and they would target their next faculty hire to do that and everything. So there are not lots of costs associated with these programs, which reach across disciplines, and they just make for use and interest of the faculty, and also in responding to needs of students for these interdisciplinary areas. In answer to your second question, that's a question that we need to look at and look at carefully. Buffalo State, as with many institutions, is great at expanding, but not too good at condensing, and so we need to take a look, and I think we have some plans to do that at the viability of our academic programs.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Vice President Kardonsky, would you step up and
if you think I know what I'm supposed
right
to do.
Right there, and so you just moved on.
Well, I don't know which report to give you first. I don't know whether I should bring you down or uplift you, and since you've already been uplifted by the first year convocation video, I think I'll just give you a straight-off downer, and then we can bring you back up again, hopefully. Question was that? Raised about programs, and Dennis mentioned budget, and here is where we are. It's 2010-11. I've talked in the past about our continuing need. Going into this year, we calculated our continuing need to maintain business as it was occurring in 2009-10 was about $90 million, and that included mandatory increases that we had to pass on or had to accept, such as salary increases, utility increases, and other costs. The governor and the legislature did fund those mandatory increases to the tune of $123 million system-wide. However, the system took a $170 million total cut. SUNY then took the $123 million, which was given to us for mandatory increases, applied that to the $170 million cut, and then allocated the difference of $47 million to the campuses. So of the remaining cut of $47 million, our share was $1.1 million, plus we still have to fund the salary increases, plus we still have to fund the increases in utilities and other inflationary costs. What we did was reduce across the board all units by 3.5%. When I say all units, all vice presidential units, and how each vice president passed that 3.5% down to their individual units was up to them. That reduced our expenditure budget to $85.5 million. Our projected state and tuition revenue totaled $80.6 million, $28.2 million in state tax revenues, and $52.4 million in collected tuition and fees. And I never hesitate to point out that when I started working here, the numbers, at least the proportions, were almost exactly reversed. When I started here, we received twice as much from the state as we collected in tuition. Now we receive twice as much in tuition as we receive from the state. So we still have a $4.9 million cut, $85.5 million in expenditures, projected revenues of $80.6 million. How we accomplished that budget balancing was drawing on reserves. And we've talked in the past about the reserves and the actions that the campus has taken in order to accommodate budget reductions. $2.7 million in our IFR reserves, or the income fund reimbursable accounts that we have been slowly building up over the years in the event bad times befall us, and they always do. $1.1 million in overflow tuition collected in prior years, and $1 million in essentially an IOU, which is restricted hiring, which we have been, the vice presidents and the deans and department chairs have been enforcing. So we've accomplished our $4.87 million reduction by temporary actions. So the good news is we will be able to operate in the current year without significant dislocation. The bad news is we still have, at minimum, a $5 million structural deficit in our budget, and the number is really higher if you look at some of the details of the budget around the campus. We're not ready for that one yet. So we being the president, the vice president, the deans, and the institution, will be looking over the next 2 years to try to bring our expenditure budget in line with our projected revenues. Things can change. But as of now, the legislature has not been receptive to our argument for flexibility in setting tuition. The legislature has not been receptive to our arguments for flexibility in general. And absent any improvement in that public policy arena, we are going to be faced with increasing deficits and increasing difficulties in operating our campus. Our reserves are not infinite. They're very, very finite. And if we take prudent action starting now, they should be able to get us through the next 2 years until we have a budget which is in alignment. One facet of this year's budget activity is the governor's early retirement incentive program, for which we do not have the full impact. The program is an incentive to enable employees to take early retirement with certain incentives provided. Depending on whether you are in a state retirement system or in an optional retirement system, so-called ORPs, the incentives are different. Also, there are two different windows of retirement. Classified staff, those are primarily our custodial, our secretaries, our maintenance people, who decide to retire, must be gone by the end of this month. So they've already announced their intention to go, and we already know how many of those folks will be leaving us, and the numbers are here, although they've been updated slightly, so we have a few more applicants. Faculty and professional staff have until December 31st to retire, and they don't have to let us know until the beginning of December. So we don't really have a handle on how many faculty and professional staff will be going. We hear anecdotally that significant numbers of our senior faculty and staff are considering strongly the early retirement incentive. Absent the knowledge now of what those numbers will be and what the financial impact will be, we are really on hold in our budget deliberations because we are required for two categories of those employees to pay the incentive directly, so not directly to the employee, but back to the state, that we'll have to reimburse the state for the cost of the incentive. And we are required to save 50% of the aggregate salary savings. So if $6 million worth of employees retire by December 31st, we're expected to cut our payroll by half of that, by $3 million. And how we're going to do that and how we'll manage it is to be determined. Not that we have given it thought, but we simply, absent knowledge of the magnitude of the issue, we can't really get our hands around. So that should help us going forward from a budget standpoint. However, it will not help us operationally. Because while you can replace a $100,000 faculty member perhaps with a $50,000 junior faculty member, it's not always the case. And we're going to have to do some very clever, and we can do clever stuff. That's where we are on budget. Any questions on budget?
Do you anticipate, maybe the president, obviously you don't have a crystal ball, but I was reading here where the comptroller says that the state budget already is out of balance.
Do we anticipate a mid-year cut? Jerry, it is always a possibility. It has happened to us before. If we take a mid-year cut this time around, let's get a mid-year cut of 2% amounts to a 4% cut, because you're taking the full year's cut starting in December. There's no real way to operationalize that except to throw in additional reserves. To the extent we have to throw in additional reserves, we're minimizing our ability to get through the next 2 years, because as I pointed out, those reserves are finite. We've got them in a little shoebox under my desk, but that shoebox is getting it. I should take that shoebox and split. You know, one of these days, it's really smart.
Take early retirement.
Here, well, is that a suggestion?
Sam, I would say that I have been in institutions that have taken $7, $8 million cuts in a single year. It's not fun. If we can, as Vice President Kurdanski is saying, if we can do this over a two-year period, we can be much more planful, and the curve of the decline is slower. So if what you say happens in mid-year we have a cut, we can certainly cover it for spring, but that will shorten the window for dealing with the real structural deficit. In other words, we can cover the spring with our savings account, essentially. But we want to use that savings account now to stretch out the time we have to find the solution to the structural problem in the budget.
Any questions on budget? Thank you, Jerry. I got to go in and out. Let's see, I'm not Dennis Cotton. Well, you know, sometimes Vice President Ponton did win the tennis tournament yesterday during the golf and tennis hour.
He always wins, though, doesn't he?
Our master plan, as we've reported before, and as many members of the campus community are aware, we've been in the midst of a facilities master planning activity for the last almost 1 year. I am not going to take you through in detail that plan because it's complex and it is still not in final form, although it will be in final form fairly soon. What I will take you through is some of the highlights of the plan. The plan covered all aspects of the campus life, academic facilities, support facilities, transportation, landscaping, access for the community. All those things which go into creating a small city within a city, which is what we are, and how that city relates to the larger environment is what our consultants from Battaglia Associates looked at. Among their findings and some of the results, we will be fully renovating 13 buildings during the 10-year period from 2013 to 2023. Nine of those buildings are academic buildings, and many of those buildings, you know from the names, are some of our original buildings on campus, such as Bacon and Ketchum. Full renovations. We will be renovating again the Campbell Student Union. We've done some significant renovations to that building over the last several years, and we'll be improving it even further. We'll be converting one of our buildings that used to be a residence hall that we kind of took out of residence life, and now we're going to put a residence hall back in position, and we'll be converting two other spaces back to student use. Those will be the renovation activities. Now, in renovations, in order to amass a significant renovation of a building, you've got to have a place to put the folks and the programs that live in that building. And what has happened, synchronicity sometimes is a wonderful thing, is our contract with the Buffalo Public Schools for their occupancy of Buckham School, which is the very large building on Rockwell Road, will terminate at the end of the current academic year. This will be the last year for that school's existence, and Campus West has been on campus for 30 or 40 years. It's been a fixture of our academic programs for many years. However, that building is large enough so that we can surge, is the parliament, surge those buildings that are going to be taken offline, surge the activities, the faculty, staff, classrooms, everything into Buckham. That'll require that we do some renovations to Buckham before we can do the surging, because we've got to at least raise the urinals from six-year-old height. I mean, so there are things that need to be done to Buckham. And we'll be doing that. But that gives us an opportunity to fast-track, if you think 10 years is fast-track, it is fast-track, to fast-track all these renovations during the period. There will be seven new buildings. This is the current, as currently conceived. And there are some folks who think we are now carving in stone what's going to happen. This is a plan. And plans get changed, and plans get reviewed as situations occur. We'll be adding an addition to Bacon Hall to accommodate, we just want to move the entire suite of education programs in there, and by extending Bacon Hall, adding a wing to that, we'll be able to put all the education programs in Bacon Hall. A new aspect of our planning is to put on Grant Street a building we're currently calling the Community Engagement and Campus, I didn't put the mixed use in there, and Campus Building. The purpose of that building will be to house those programs which provide outreach services to our communities, our various communities, such as a small business development center, such as a literacy center, such as a center for development and human services, at least the on-campus portion, and the speech and language pathology clinic. The exact details of what is going to be where, that will get worked out later on. But the goal of this is to provide an avenue for our community to better make use of the services that we can best provide to them by putting them in an accessible space near parking, near a major thoroughfare, and near public transportation. That building, as currently conceived, would also have meeting rooms for the community and for the campus, section spaces, and perhaps some spaces for incubator programs, either community-based or campus space. A new Campus Life building to augment the Student Union would be put on Rockwell Road. That building, as conceived now, would house the student services aspects, while the Student Union would continue to house those activities such as dining and entertaining and partying and all the kind of stuff that Hal tries not to let them do all the time. There will be a new Campus Operations Center to replace the current facility. It will house our maintenance custodial, our fleet. It will also house our university police. Among the details of this program is demolition of several of our older campus buildings, including Cassidy Hall, including Chase Hall, including Weigel. And by the way, the Weigel programs would be part of what would go into that new Campus Life building on Rockwell Road. Campus Operations Center building, whatever we're going to call it, that'll be on the site that we're now in the process of acquiring. It takes forever, acquiring from the city of Buffalo. The stadium, as originally conceived, plus with the addition of a level of parking below, is part of the plan. Two structured parking garages, one on the east side of the campus and one on the west side of the campus. And those of you who have been here for a while know how much of a breakthrough this is for SUNY to allow us to put into our planning garages, ramps. And we are looking, I don't know when it's going to happen, you know, but we're looking forward to getting that accomplished. And additional work on the Great Lakes Center, that is, will be the subject of a mini planning process that needs to take place because their needs and their programmatic activities are so unique, and we will be initiating another planning process to accommodate the Great Lakes Center needs. The consultants have recommended that we do a new housing study, which we will do, and the consultants have indicated that we can accommodate all our housing needs as projected on our own campus, especially with the demolition of several buildings, with the conversion of some existing buildings back to residence halls, and ultimately, after Buckham is used for surge space, that building will be demolished, providing a huge footprint for future development, either academic or student housing or both. The consultants have provided us with a very, very extensive landscaping plan. Again, I'm not going to take you through detail, but it includes things such as improving the north end of the campus, you know, that great gray canyon right next to the high-rise dorms, which looks like, well, it looks like the alley that I used to live in Brooklyn, or not in, but next to in Brooklyn. So we're going to try to de-alify the northern part of the campus, more greenery. Part of the plan is, as well, is to make both entrances to the campus on the east side and the west side of Rockwell Road much more attractive and to improve our entire face that we put toward the west side of the campus. We're also looking toward, Howard Zemsky, I remember, but I got to mention something about the Richardson Complex, and we are looking toward and planning to integrate, to the extent possible, our landscaping with the plans that the Richardson folks are coming up with to restore their Olmsted landscape on their side of Rockwell Road. And I want anybody who's interested, there will be ample opportunity next week for full presentation, so I'm not going to take you through detail. There's also a circulation and parking plan as part of this. We discussed some of the highlights, the highlights really being the new ramps at the east and west end of the campus. We're also going to eliminate some of the areas on campus where there are conflicts between shipping, receiving, and non-commercial traffic and student and pedestrian traffic. We're also going to try to find a way to make the student union more accessible for events so that people don't have to walk halfway across the campus to get from their parking lot to the event. And again, it will not take you... Well, one important highlight, I should take you through that one. The consultants have recommended, and we are very much in support of, a bridge across the Skajakwita Creek connecting up with the Black Rock neighborhood, just near Wegmans. That's something that the community has been asking for many years. And with the downgrade, the planned downgrade of the Skajakwita Expressway to a parkway, or whatever they're going to call it, that gives us the opportunity to bridge that. Now, that is not going to be solely our project. We need a Division of Transportation to buy into that. But that will be a great asset to the community north of our campus and to our student community. We're also going to be going west, because once we acquire the impound yard, we will have lakes, we will have waterfront property. And our idea is to take what is now Rockwell and Letchworth all the way to the water and to develop canal side or riverside or creek side, however it's defined, and to do something nice in that part of the campus. Okay, there will be a separate plan to improve wayfinding around the campus, and as you know, our signs are terrible. They don't lead you anywhere. And of course, our department chairs like to go out with magic markers and put their particular program up on the sign as well, totally confounding every signage program we have invented. So I'm going to leave it to the provost to manage that. Thank you, Dennis. What are the phasing of the projects? In the first five-year tranche, the money will come to us, we believe, in 2 5-year chunks. We're going to do most of those renovations, certainly those programs that are related to improving the on-campus environment in existing buildings and improving our academic spaces. In the second half will be some of the other programs that we are, some of the other buildings such as Cordell and Ketchum. It's complex. If you think this building, this campus is chewed up and busy now, you just wait until 2013 to 2023. You're going to pine for the good old days of 2011, 2012. One of the projects that we want to advance is the campus community engagement building, which I discussed before. And we are going to start working with our legislators and with SUNY, because that is right in accord with the chancellor's own agenda, which is community outreach and engagement. We're going to try to reach out to them to get separate advance funding for that. So we'll keep you apprised. What's the cost of all this? First cycle, $381 million in today's dollars. Second cycle, $277 million. That's a hefty chunk of change. And is there any reality that we can get it? Well, the answer is, yeah, there is. Keep in mind that right now, little old Buffalo State is in the middle of a $350 million capital project bulge. And keep in mind that one thing governors and legislators love to do is make the trade unions happy. And nothing makes the trade unions happier than capital construction. So we've got several things going for us to try to get that funding in place. So that's where we are on the facilities master plan. Any questions? The next steps, next week we will be presenting and unveiling this to the community. There will be a gala community meeting on the 23rd. At the Birchfield Penny, I think it starts at 6:30. All are welcome. And all will be revealed, and all questions will be answered. And so please, if you've got nothing on your calendar, we'd love to see you there in the Birchfield Penny on the 23rd. Questions? Got one more. One more. Don't chase me away yet.
I did have actually one question. You just might mention, Stanley, that on the previous slide, there was also the decentralization of the power plant, very good opportunity to increase sustainability and possibly gain back a chunk of footprint for the centralized plant.
Right. You probably have noticed that the bakery and laundry are gone. If you haven't driven past that part of the campus, they're gone. The only building remaining over there is the power plant, which we can't be on until we replace those capabilities. So one of the studies we're commissioning now is whether to replace it with a new power plant, and where would we put it, or to go to different kinds of provision of power, not power, it's really steam, and air conditioning to the buildings. So that's done with the commission soon.
Yeah. You mentioned a parking ramp east and west. I understand where east is, or west is. Where is east?
East, the site being, there are two sites being considered. The one, the preferred site right now is something called Lot Y, which is the one just north, just next to Campus House. It's a student lot. It's on a slope, so you can build into the hill and maybe just two levels high, so it would not be, two levels would be below, two levels above the surface of the road. So it would not be too intrusive. That's the site that's being looked at. Now, of course, building in a hill, there are all kinds of technical issues and there are cost implications.
Right.
But those are studies that will be pursued at a later date when we get there.
And is there any discussion of the any of the buildings that are south of Rockwell Road?
The question is what, and I'm going to throw it back at you, Howard.
Okay, never mind.
It's all timing, Howard. That's going to be the issue. Finally, the new student housing project, which is now being affectionately called the Green Monster. Trust me that the color will not stay green for too much longer, but it is kind of in your face when you see that building. It's a big one. Just to recap some of the things you know, total project cost $48 million. This was done off the books. This finance was creating a separate 501c3 corporation, financing it by the sale of bonds by the Erie County Industrial Development Agency. The primary buyers of the bonds were M&T Bank and First Niagara Bank, with a sub-debt by the L.P. Simonelli Trust. That financing was amazing that we were able to pull it off, and we had a great Housing Corporation board that facilitated that, because it was in the depths of the lack of availability. Banks were not lending money to anybody. So the fact that this funding package got done and that the building is going up is a testament to the excellence of our board members, who did an absolutely super job. It's 507 beds, three wings, architect Cannon Design. The project started last fall and will be delivered in May. It's on time. And just as a reprise of the bonding, there's some of the images. I kind of like that color. I don't see why we have to cover that up with bricks and stuff. That's what it's going to look like.
It's great from the highway.
Some perspective views. Construction's on time, on budget. Completion May 2011. Occupancy fall 2011. And right now, after not even a year after the financing, well, a little more than a year after the financing was put in place, now we're looking at refinancing. We have a very, very great deal right now. We're paying about 3% with a variable rate loan through these bonds. However, nobody expects interest rates are going to stay at 3% for the next 30 years. So we want to take advantage of this interest rate market and lock in a fixed rate going forward. We received a Baa3 rating from Moody's in the conversation we've had with them, which is an investment grade. So we believe that we can get a fixed rate financing of less than 5% going forward. Why would you change 3% for 5%? Because in 10 years you could be paying 8 or 9 or 10 or 12%. So that's where we are, and there's going to be a tour of the interior of the building for the foundation board members, and I don't think, Susie, the world would come to an end if we invited some of the other vice presidents and deans to join us. So if you're interested in taking that tour, the president's already been through. They're going to try to fix it up even more than when you came through, Aaron. So that'll be an opportunity for you to see what else. I want to move in. It would be great place. Questions on anything I presented?
Great, Stan.
Thank you.
That concludes my report, actually. Excellent. Thank you,
Aaron. Thank you, Dennis and Stan. Jim, I think you've got actually two reports, one on building of buildings and grounds, and perhaps one on student affairs.
Yes, I do.
Okay,
yep.
Thank you.
Yep, Bill couldn't be with us today, and his committee met, and in accordance with the guidelines for naming opportunities on state university campuses, and in recognition of a wonderful gift to the college from Dr. Margaret Eschner Bacon, President Padalevsky has approved the naming of the student gallery at Upton Hall as the Dr. Margaret Eschner Bacon Gallery, and arrangements have already been made to dedicate the gallery in honor of Dr. Bacon in the fall semester of 2010. And we do have a resolution, which I'll read, and we will need to approve. At its September 14, 2010 meeting, the Buffalo State College Council recommended, and President Aaron Podolevsky approved, that the student gallery at Upton Hall be named in honor of Dr. Margaret E. Bacon. Margaret Eschner Bacon graduated from the State Teachers College in 1941 with a B.S. in art education. Margaret went on to earn a doctorate degree and dedicated her life to the service of higher education as an art education professor at the University of Buffalo and Damon College. In recognition of her long history of philanthropic support for a variety of initiatives at Buffalo State, Dr. Bacon was presented with the Chair's Recognition Award from the Board of Directors of the Buffalo State College Foundation in 2008. This honor is given in consideration of a gift made to the college by Dr. Margaret Eschner Bacon and in recognition of her years of service as a member of the Buffalo State College community. So that is the resolution. I think we need a motion, right, to approve.
So moved. Motion to approve.
Second. In favor?
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you. And the Student Affairs Committee had a meeting the other day, and I'll cover a few items. Enrollment looks good. Actual enrollment, of course, we won't have the final numbers, I think, till September, probably available at our next meeting. But the actual numbers came in at about 11,725. That's up about 125 from our target. The FTE came in at 10,016, and that was up about 36 from our target. The academic profile of new freshmen coming in hasn't really changed a whole lot over the last couple years. There are a number of ways that we gauge incoming freshmen. One is through selectivity groupings. And actually, I'll have Mark. Mark, could you talk a little bit about what that is, the selectivity groupings?
The selectivity groupings basically was a key performance indicator that SUNY put together to be able to put each of the institutions within SUNY into a certain category. So you were either selective, highly selective, very selective, so on. So we had put a certain number of our enrolled students into each of this matrix where high school average was on one side and SAT or a standardized test was on the other. And it had a step to it. So depending on what you had from a high school average perspective and an SAT perspective, you fell into a group, group one being the highest, group five being the lowest. In order to meet our memorandum of understanding with SUNY, we had to have 65% or more of our students in G3 or higher. And as you can see from the chart, we've been exceeding that, especially over the past few years. We're currently at 77.5% of our students are in that category. So we're meeting that selectivity rating. Fall 2010 was the last year that we were bound to that key performance indicator as our MOU has expired with SUNY Systems Administration. We're still planning to use it internally for fall 2011 because we've got all the matrix in place and it's a nice measurement tool, but we're not bound by a certain percentage of our students being in any category at that point.
Great. Thank you, Mark. Also, we'll be awarding from our All Honors Program President scholarships, Provost scholarship, Dean scholarships, I think somewhere close to 250 scholarships in 2010. I want to thank the development staff, Susie, for all your hard work. I know we had a wonderful event the other day, and I'm sure that we raised a lot of money towards scholarship. And I also want to thank everybody involved in enrollment because if you remember, it was not too long ago we talked about how difficult it was going to be to keep the numbers up from a demographic standpoint. And we thought that in 2009 the numbers would actually start to decline, but everybody's working hard and our numbers are continuing to increase. But it still will be a challenge. Any questions on that? I'll move on to residence hall occupancy for the fall of 2010. We have 2,226 residents. Residence hall capacity is 1,966. So we have a few things happening. We have three-person rooms. We have 369 total first-year residents are housed in three-person rooms. We do provide them with a 25% reduction in their housing rate. But this number, we look, in 2011 to significantly decrease from that 369 total. It won't totally go away, but it will significantly decrease. We also continue to house students this semester and into the spring at the Adams Mark Hotel. Currently, we have 239 transfer students housed at the hotel. Once kind of the dust settles for the fall semester, that number should go to about 160 to 180, and by the spring, probably somewhere around 50 to 70 students, and this should be the last year for the Adams Mark Hotel as we bring on the new facility. We do help those students out with transportation and food service, and again, these numbers are what they are because the $45 million project that Stan had just talked about, and I think a mock-up apartment will be readied for, I think, September 30th, and that's the tour. Hopefully we can get everybody to attend. And of course, the four towers will look to start conversion in 2012 and for the rest of the decade. Lastly, more construction, great construction going on campus. We have the game room in the student union basement is scheduled to begin the end of November, and that looks for completion in the spring semester of 2011. And the renovation includes additional office space for USG student organizations, and that'll be a nice project for the students in USG. And student union third floor, social hall, fireside lounge, assembly hall, DOS offices, elevator, main lobby. That'll begin shortly. The architectural firm is the same firm that did the renovations for us for retail and resident dining areas, and we're very happy with the results. And this is a $3.4 million renovation, and that's scheduled to begin in the fall semester. We're looking, I think the fall semester of next year, we're looking for completion in 9 to 12 months, spring semester of 2011. Ribbon cutting for the quad, hopefully at inauguration. And we have an RFP for food service for pre-review at the state auditor's office, and hopefully we'll get it back someday soon. That concludes my report, and it looks like things are up and running for the new semester. Yeah.
That's it.
Wow, very thorough. Thanks, and thanks to my members of the committee, too.
Great job. Thanks. Very interesting. Are there any other questions or comments of Jim? Okay. Well, in accordance with Section 105 of the New York State Open Meetings Law, I'll entertain a motion to move to executive session to discuss personnel matters.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we're in executive session. Thank you. Okay, the council has concluded the executive session. I'll now entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we are adjourned. Thank you.